All right. We'll take it as that. All right, I can't see you smiling, so you're going to have to do one of the sign language, you know, woo. Okay, there we go. All right, hey, well, welcome. It is great to see you guys this morning. We got a beautiful day for you today, all right? Nothing we did, but thank you for the beautiful day, Lord. Hey, real quick, you got a couple QR codes on your tables there, and you're going to be able to scan those with your smartphone and follow along in the lyrics today. We got Spanish and English today. So look for that on each table. We also have a QR code if you're interested in giving as well. And again, you know, this takes a lot to put this together. The church is alive and active on Catalina Island, and thanks to your giving and tithes and donations, we're able to do everything that you see today. In fact, if you're even interested in going a little above and beyond, we do have some special projects that you can help contribute to and fund. Funding some of our sound equipment and speakers and all that. So we encourage you, if you're interested in going a little above and beyond this week, check that out. You can scan that code, all right? Hey, I don't know about y'all, but I'm kind of loving this outdoor church thing. Are you guys loving this outdoor church thing? It's better than being inside. We might do this forever. I just got to say, what church has the opportunity to, during the service, connect to so many people that aren't here? We got the golfers, we got the hikers, golf carters, all that. What an awesome opportunity to be able to reach dozens and dozens of more people every week that we do this. And the Lord says in the Word, it says, your word will not return void. As the band comes up, I just want to pray. I want to pray over those people real quick. You guys want to pray with me over those people? Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray over those walking by. I pray for the golfers, everyone that's going to walk by and hear this message, that you would work in their heart, that your word would not return void, that you would time it just perfectly so that the words that are spoken hit them directly where they need to hear it, right in that moment of walking by. Whether they stop and listen, whether they keep going, I pray that you would reach their heart. Just as the wind is moving through these trees, so too your spirit would move and be alive today. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, let's stand up. Let's worship. All right, let's do it.
Awesome. I'll let my drummer get settled there. We're going to get started. So good to have you guys here. So good to be outside in God's nature, His creation. Let's worship Him in wonder of Him.
Put your hands together here.
I see the world your way. I'm not afraid to follow. I see the world your way. I'm not ashamed to say so. I see the Jesus way. You're a wonder in the light. I see the world in light. I see the world in wonder. I see the world in light, bursting in living color. I see the world your way, and I'm walking in the light. I see the world in grace. I see the world in gospel. I see the world your way, and I'm walking in the light. I see the world in love. I see the world in freedom. I see the Jesus way. You're the wonder in the world, turning wilderness to wonder. You're the wonder in the world, turning wilderness to wonder. And kingdoms will bow down. Every chain will break as broken hearts declare His praise.
Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring in power and fighting our battles. And every knee will bow before Him. Our God is a Lamb, the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood brings the chains. And every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before Him.
God, open up the gate.
Open up the gate. Make way before the King of Kings. The God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. Who can stop the Lord Almighty?
Who can stop?
Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? will bow before him. Our God is a lamb, the lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood brings a change. Every knee will bow before the lion and the lamb. Every knee will bow before him.
Morning. You know, this morning I looked outside and I thought, oh, it's going to be overcast. So I dressed and I got black jeans and I got this heavier shirt, and all of a sudden this happens, right? Sometimes we never know. We plan for things, but things change. 2020 has been a change. One day we're going to look back at this year. And we, 20 years from now, we'll say, do you remember 2020? Oh, yeah, I remember 2020. You know, Jesus, when he was walking on this earth, there were a lot of changes that were going on in the land. And he was telling and preparing his disciples for this coming death that he was going to face. And he told them, let's go to Jerusalem. He knew that that was the time. He had fulfilled everything else. Now he needed to go to Jerusalem, and he knew what was going to be unpacked. But they walk into Jerusalem, and all of a sudden they're celebrating. Everyone says, here's the king. They're celebrating. And yet, within a few days, he's sitting down with his disciples, and he totally changes things, because now he's coming for a different reason. They understand that he's there for a different reason. It says, when the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. And Jesus said, I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And then he took the cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. And then he said, take this and share it among yourselves, for I will not drink wine until the kingdom of God has come. And so this was a part of the Passover meal, and each part of the meal is symbolic. It all points to the coming Messiah. If you ever have a chance to go to a Messianic Seder dinner, I would encourage you to do so. It gives you so much insight as to what Jesus was doing when he was celebrating his Passover, his final Passover before his death. And then it says, he took some bread and he gave thanks to God for it. And he broke it in pieces and he gave it to disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And after this, we're going to partake. And after supper, he took another cup of wine and said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. And so Jesus was saying two things here. He's pointing out the bread, and he was saying to his disciples, you have been, every year you've been celebrating the Passover, how you have been freed as slaves, but it was always pointing to your Messiah. And then he gets the bread, and he says, this is me. All of a sudden, it became very present. The whole reality of what they've been celebrating, waiting for the coming day, all of a sudden, he says, this is that day. This is me. And then after that, he says, this cup is a new covenant between God. And that was the cup of redemption. That's what it was called. And he said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people. And so again, he knew that he was going to shed his blood for us. And because of that, we have a new covenant with God. We have a completely new relationship with God. And so, no matter what happens with 2020, as crazy as it's been, remember, this promise is the same. Doesn't change. He is with us, and he did everything possible for us to be able to come together and celebrate as we are this morning, and to celebrate the coming kingdom when he comes back for his people. Amen? And so, what we're going to do, we're going to have some worship time. Continue with the worship. And during that time, I would encourage you to spend a moment and just talk to Jesus and thank him for all that he's done. And then at your time with him, partake of the bread and the cup. And with that, I'd like to pray a blessing on the continued worship and on the message that's going to be shared. Heavenly Father, thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your Son. And Jesus, thank you for your willing sacrifice for all of us. As we continue on in our worship and praise to you, we ask, God, that you would stir our hearts, draw us close, that we would sense your presence. And we pray, Father, your blessings and anointing on Andrew as he shares the message that comes from your heart to us, Lord God, that we would sense your presence in the midst of the words that he has to share with us, that we would know that you are with us And no matter what happens, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you, Jesus, that we're together in your name. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Chases me down, fights till I'm found.
my sorrow, dead in my sin, and lost without hope, with no place to begin. Your love made a way and let mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life began, now ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. And my orphan heart was given a name. My morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. But when death was arrested and my life began, oh, your grace over me washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. Released from my chains, I'm a prisoner no more. Shame was a ransom you faithfully bore. He canceled my debt and he called me his friend. But when death was arrested and my life began, oh, your grace so free washes over. Rejoiced as though heaven had lost. But then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested and my life began. That's when death was arrested and my life began. Your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made me new, now life begins with you. Oh, we're free, free, forever we're free. Come join the song of all the redeemed. Yes, we're free, free, forever, amen. When death was arrested and my life began, oh, we're free, free, forever we're free. Come join the song of all the redeemed. Yes, we're free, free, forever, amen. When death was arrested and my life began. When death was arrested and my life began. When death was arrested and my life began.
affect me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me. Will come to pass. My heart will sing your praise again. Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within your love. My heart will sing your praise again. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my
gonna need your help with this one, church. Come on.
I've seen you move. You move the mountains, and I believe. I see you do it again. You made a way when there was no way, and I believe. I see you do it again. I've seen you move. You move the mountain, and I believe. This is my confidence, you never fail. Your promise still stands, great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands, this is my confidence, you never failed me yet.
And he won't fail you guys. Never. Ever. You know, when I was a kid, I grew up in church and I'd fall asleep under the pews because church for me, and especially in Spanish culture, we were there all day. We didn't play. We got up at 6 a.m. Like it or not, you're going to church. And then we had break. Then we had, you know, another church service. Then we had lunch. And then we were there all night. And my grandma, Chewy, she had to say goodbye to every single person. Ugh. But we used to do something I'll never forget. We would stand when the word of the Lord was being preached. And I'm going to ask you this morning, out of reverence to our Lord, out of your stand today to believe in your faith, you are here today. I'm going to ask you to stand with me as I read this portion of Scripture this morning. Found in 1 Peter 5. Shepherd the flock. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is coming to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, I love this part, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another, for God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around, lurking, roaring like a lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated if you aren't already. Matthew, thank you. Band, thank you. Enrique, thank you. And Dave out there, thank you. I'm watching him, man. He waves at I think he's waving at seagulls going by, man. He's just out there. He's all in. And I appreciate it out there, Dave. I know it's warm, and you're working this entire service. And also, Dave and Lori are still settling in their home. And Monty, Martina, and Ryan, all of them. And they're up here serving. Guys, thank you for being here. Can I have a round of applause for our parents that are bringing their kids out to these services? They're working hard too, man. They got coloring. They got it all going on sitting back there. Thank you. And it's a joy doing this. It's a unity of the body. We're in a bird park next to a golf course on the 7 out of 8 Channel Island in the Pacific Ocean doing church, my friends. I mean, I know you've thought of that, but you needed to hear that. It's pretty amazing. Who gets to do this, right? What a blessing. Even though there's blessing, and even though we just got done singing, I know you'll do it again. I had one of those weeks. Matt and I, actually, of all people, reading the scripture this morning, Matt and I were sharing this morning. And, you know, I found out, you know, a lot of rough stuff this week. Some of us have had really great weeks. And I'm sure mine is around the corner. And I'm sure I had one last week. I just don't remember it. All I know is this was one of those rough weeks. It wasn't a bad week. I don't want to get negative, but it was a rough week. Found out my folks are going into assisted living. Meanwhile, my wife and I are in the process of moving into something a little smaller, way smaller. And also cleaning up the old place. That's a lot of fun, isn't it? Right? Going through all the stuff that's there. Got called in for doing Jeep tours this week when I really wasn't on my radar completely. And a couple of them, as soon as I showed up, got cut. And I was like, oh, gee whiz, you know, I was excited about doing the tour. Ministry stuff, we had events all week, very, very busy. My brother finds out he's got diabetes. And I've just got this list of things going on and on and on. And church is coming. Church is coming, right?
I hate thinking of it that way because it almost sounds like this giant rock that you get on Monday morning and you can't wait for Sunday to push it off the cliff, right? And then you get a new one on Monday. Quite honestly, I've seen you move. You've moved the mountains, and I believe that you will do it again and again and again and again. He'll restore those things. Doggone it, Matt, thank you for reading it like you read it, right? The way you read it, the emphasis on the things you put on there. I needed that. And welcome back to, by the way, Javi Peguero from our United States Air Force this morning, right here in the front. Kind of a special guy in our family right now. No, he's special, and he graduated a couple years ago, and he's been serving our country, and it's great having him back. You know, when I was a little older than Javi, and I was serving as a youth worker, I had a lady, we called her Miss Jackie. She was one of my older youth workers. And even though I was a youth pastor and I had all these great workers, everybody, you know, when Miss Jackie spoke, everyone gave her a lot of respect and listened to what she was a seasoned worker, right? And she pulled me aside when I was younger and she said these words. She said, Andrew, God has a plan for you, but know that the devil has a bullseye on you and wants to use you for target practice. And I will be praying for you to have the strength to defend what he has planned for you. Because there's something special that God wants to do through you. Miss Jackie, wonderful friend of our family. Actually helped homeschool my kids in their younger years. Trusted her. She actually served as our youth secretary. Wonderful lady. And when she said those things, it put me on notice. And even though I've had some of those anxious moments this week, I thought, you know what? I always feel better when I'm going to go paddling. I love to stand-up paddle. Is Janice in the house? Brand new stand-up paddle board. There she is. I love paddling. She knows that. We've been training a little bit. And I love getting out there. For me, it just relaxes me a little bit, among other things. The water is about as clear as I've ever seen it right now. If you haven't been out in the ocean, you need to go to the ocean. It is beautiful. And I'm out there, and I'm paddling. And I just get started. I'm past the Green Pier, and I'm headed out. I'm thinking I'm going down south. I'm going to head towards the east end. And all of a sudden, I hear the Dana boat go, it's backing up, which, you know, I'm going to back up. But everybody else decided to honk their horns in the harbor at the same time. Have you heard this? Yeah. The only thing is, I was about 3 feet from every one of them honking the horn at the same time. I flew out of my skin. I do not fly off of paddle boards. It's been a long time since I've fallen off a board. I completely ejected from that thing. And I was like, oh, we're under, you know, beaches of Normandy here. We're going to get attacked. It just was kind of showed a little symbolism as to how on notice my spirit is right now. Just one little thing, one little thing, boom, can set me off right now with all of the things that I mentioned before. Over the years, many people have come to me and said, I'm praying for you because I know the devil's gunning for you, Hobbs. And my response now is, I'm praying for you as well, since the devil will try to crush any one of us. And the devil's not just gunning for us folks like me standing up here at this pulpit. The birthmark of a Christian is a bullseye. When you're born into this mysterious kingdom of God, you now have a bullseye on you. And years ago, when America was caught sleeping, the chief of staff whispered into President Bush's ear simply the words at the 9/11 attacks. He said, America is under attack. And since that time, we're so sophisticated. Oh, no, there's that horn again. It's okay. It's going to be okay. Now that we're so sophisticated and intellectually capable, we talk ourselves out of these under attack references. Listen to me this morning. Okay? We convince ourselves that we don't need preaching airtime for the devil. And we convince ourselves that our faith's going to be fine. And let me tell you something. Without faith, under attack equals I'm having a bad day. You ever heard that before? Oh, I'm just having a bad day. No. No, you're not. You're under attack. A few of us wild men got together this week. We went up on a mountain, and one guy was just saying, yeah, it's just kind of a rough week, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no. You're under attack. Tell me what's really going on under the hood. Look under the hood. What's really happening here? It's an attack. Under attack is not the same thing as forgetting to charge your phone or being late for work. That stuff just means you're careless and just underperforming. They're cosmetic effects of something that's bigger, that's stressing you out, that's going on. But we just heard from this scripture an older version of Peter. There's a younger version of Peter. We talk about him a lot, don't we? And then Peter, seasoned, a seasoned Pete, stands up and he says something different because he's aged a little bit. And in this great epistle, he reminds us, my friends, you are under attack. And here's the kicker. We know it's coming. Right? Y'all listening? We know it's coming, don't you? You know it's coming. You know it is. Okay? It's not like an ambush. My daughter and I jumped off one of the floats the other day. We love swimming together later in the afternoons. And she grabbed a tennis ball that happened to be floating out of the ocean. And she waited for me to come up with my mask and snorkel. And she chucked the tennis ball that just nailed me right between the eyes of my mask right here. It's just one of those things. We're always having fun, okay? Later, she got a fat lip. It was not on purpose, but it happened. And she looked at me. She goes, ambush! She nailed me. And we have this little game going on. She was right. And just like those horns going off, there's always something that's going to take you. But in this case, Peter's warning us, this is not a joke. And in this case, he's referring to persecution by the Roman Emperor Nero in AD 67. The hand of God represents at least three things in Scripture. Here it is. Provision, purpose, and protection. I like that last one a lot. It is in his hand, and we can't see it with physical eyes, but his mighty hand that we're dependent on in order for us to make it through this life. My friends, this pandemic, one of my close friends found out they're going to be evicted or they have to find another place in less than 30 days. Let me tell you something. Big news is hitting when all of a sudden you're re-furloughed again after you just got back to work, right? Or you've been reclassified, whatever. These are big things that are happening right now, and we are not strong enough to endure this stuff. Exodus account, God speaks to Moses, telling him that the provision was coming from what? The mighty hand of God. In Matthew, 5 loaves and fish, expanded to feed 4,000, 5,000, all of these done in the hand of God, the mighty hand of God. And this week I went from story after story, and I brought encouragement to myself, and it's possible. Why? Because the Word of God does that. Amen? And church, let me ask you this morning. Let me ask you, and you can say this, you can respond. Are you grateful for this mighty hand of God that provides provision, purpose, and protection? Are you grateful? Yes. Listen to it.
Even through the mask, man. Even through the mask.
I am grateful. 1 Peter 5, Peter talks about this mighty hand of protection. He says, to all that are broken, to all that are despondent and depressed, and to all pastors who think they've got it going on and then they have that kind of week going on, stay under the mighty hand of protection. Andrew, listen to me. You need to go paddling. But by the way, getting out of harbor, the harbor is going to be hell to pay. It just looks like the beaches of Normandy. Everybody's boat's coming your way. They're going to honk you right off your boat. When you get out, I'm meeting you in Lover's Cove. Just get out of the harbor. And he's looking at you saying, this is a rough one today, but it's not more than you can handle. I'm going to pull you out of this. And the important difference between an ambush and an attack. Peter was an eyewitness. Are you listening? He was seasoned. He was lifted out of the water by the mighty hand of God. Do you remember that? Peter was sinking. He remembers the mighty hand of God like no one else. 9/11 was an ambush. And Peter tells us to wake up, stop sleepwalking, and understand the reality of the situation. Hobbs, you're under attack. People of God, followers of Jesus, you're under attack. That's what's happening. Peter says, I was asleep in Gethsemane. And so don't get caught sleeping during a time like me when we're under attack. And we know this. We know it's coming. Verse 8, Peter now uses the example of what the devil is called here, a roaring lion. Obviously, he didn't have middle school children. Perhaps he would have used another analogy. I was sitting here going, a roaring lion. A roaring lion, as you know, is going to let you know that they're coming. Think about it. He's roaring. You have a chance at that point. It's either fight or flight. Or is it? The manifestation, literally, of the enemy in your life and in mine is anxiety. You don't even want to hear that word this morning, do you? You're like, Hobbs, we're sitting by a golf course in the park, man. Lighten up a little bit. Anxiety is the primary manifestation in your life where the enemy is actively destroying the life of a Christ follower. He is after you, he is after me, and he's chipping away. He's just chipping away. We are not talking about clinical anxiety, the kind that provides and requires prescription, okay? That stuff I'm talking about today is the stuff we carry around all day long. It's the dailies. It's the stuff we don't speak of a lot of the time, and it eats us alive on the inside. It is churning away inside there. After weeks and weeks of meeting with folks through online ministry, and then a couple months here of online services and outdoor services also, the post-getting back to church service exhaustion can manufacture its own anxiety in the heart of those that are even ministering right here under these tents. How does this happen in such a gorgeous place? How in the world does something like that slip in on a place called Catalina Island, the jewel of the Channel Islands? How? Where is evidence of his faithfulness? So apparent that something gets so crazy in our life and in this one square mile town, when this much beauty, 62 square miles of coastline, is surrounding this incredible one square mile little town. How does it sneak in like that? How in the world does it sneak in? The roar of the lion can jump onto you when you're not expecting it. And this fuels a restlessness. And 1 Peter 5 nails this sucker out of the park. We should be surprised that Peter made it to this stage, that he's wiser and he's an elder. He ran his mouth a lot, just constantly getting himself in a bind. And Jesus turns around and goes, No. I'm going to build my church on you, son. I'm going to call you the rock. And he sets him up and puts him in the way that he becomes. God says, put all anxiety on me. Amen? That way we don't feel the sensation of anxiety being returned to us. Put it on him. The Bible is not meant to be read like a fortune cookie with these small, independent little pearls of wisdom. You know, crack it open. Woo! Look what I get for the day. Right? Y'all remember Nings? We were fighting for those fortune cookies. I take everybody in my family. Okay. Oh, wow. You know, this is it. That's not how the Bible's read. It's not how it's to be broken down. 1 Peter 5, 6 says this, and here it is this morning. This is the meat in the message this morning. It says, humble yourself. Hobbs, you too. Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. We need to connect verse 6 with verse 7. And I like the ESV version a little bit better. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that in proper time he will exalt you. Amen? Those of you suffering right now, there's a proper time that's coming. You hear me? There's something coming for you. I want to encourage you, whether you're in a golf cart, you're on a blanket, you're under a tent, or you're putting out right now. All right? The good stuff is coming. There is a proper time. He will exalt you. It says so right here. Verse 7 says, cast all your anxieties on him, for he cares for you. And there's a comma after the exalt and the casting. Humble yourself after the mighty hand of purpose, provision, and protection. Casting all your anxieties on him. Why? Because he cares. He cares. He cares and he understands. I can look at you. I'm a human being. And I can look at you and you can share something with me. It's extremely deep, maybe even painful. And I can say that I care. But it's hard for me to go a step further and say I understand. And Jesus can do both. He says, I can do both. I care and understand. I've been there. I've walked. I'm the fully God and fully man man. I can handle this for you. There is a comma after that. And we're trying to get rid of anxiety. We're trying literally to ask God to take it away. And God says, I'm not going to take this away right now until you put away the pride, son, that carries it. Important point. The anxiety in your life is a direct manifestation of the pride that you have in your heart. And if you can live without pride, guess what? The anxiety is going to go with it. It's going to go with it. I hate mushrooms. I'm so sorry to announce that publicly here. And I know you love them, Santa. I know you do. And everyone else here, if you love mushrooms, raise your hand. Okay, fine, be that way. I just lost three quarters of my crowd. There's something about it. I just can't. When I go out to eat and I say, please, no mushrooms, they come anyway. And one of my favorite little places underneath Steve's Steakhouse. I'm not going to tell you where. But anyway, this is one of my favorite places to eat. And I always get this certain meat and they always mix it. And however, I can't do without it because this stuff is pre-mixed. The meat is pre-mixed. Get it? The mushrooms are in there. So the waitress will say, we can pick them out for you. Or you can pick them out for yourself. But guess what? They're pre-mixed, son. Get over it. You're going to need to like these things. If you want the meat in some of these restaurants right here, you're going to have to come up with the mushrooms. You're going to have to like. Peter says this. You need to understand that if you're going to have pride in your heart and you try to do things your way, and you start to control things that are beyond your pay scale, well, now you're trying to do God's job. Now you're trying to manipulate people. Put yourself into the future. Anxiety is the sauce that causes pride. And it's called pride. And if you want to get rid of the mushrooms, you're going to have to throw out the whole meat, Hobbs. Your anxiety is tied to your pride. You're trying to control something that's not yours to control. Let's examine the word for a minute. Anxiety. Right in the middle, anxiety. Now, it may not work after this hour is over, but it worked for me late last night. Because I've had this going on. And when you get to the heart of the matter, it's in the center. I look. What am I going to do? What are we going to do? This house has got this going on. We didn't want to move into that. And well, Pastor, you've been fishing all night, and you don't know much about fishing. Well, Pastor, I will never deny you three times. Jesus stood right there in front of Peter. Listen to this stuff. Pete's not 25 anymore. Had already hit rock bottom after hearing the rooster crow. An older and wiser Pete found out the failure of having the lens of I. But I. And the Lord says, if you listen to everything that you're telling yourself and creating anxious thoughts in your heart, son, it's because you got you at the center. And I tell you that here in Bird Park this morning, wherever it needs to go, even if you like mushrooms. And the bottom line here is this. Maybe you has crept into the center. What will I do? What will I blank, 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 fill in the blank? Yes, we have personal responsibility and ownership. I get it. Yes, we're a part of it, but not the center of it. Peter says, humble yourself. It's the sauce. It's the stuff you need. God says, be humble and go where I tell you to go. Preach what I tell you to preach. Say what I tell you to say. We can only be obedient right now and forget what others are thinking. For that lion that is roaring at you, here's some important advice. Run, run, but resist him by staying firm in your faith. Run, but don't leave your faith behind. Amen? Yeah, you need to resist him. You need to run, but don't let it take your faith with you. There's a difference there. Okay? One country preacher said this, and this goes way back in my Baptist days. He said, I know he's roaring, but he ain't got no teeth. And I have clearly learned to say that is flat out hogwash. And I grew up in the South, so I can use that word. This can't be true. No way. Jose. The devil certainly has teeth. For a moment, I want you to consider those that have taken their lives in this community. I am a coach in this community, and I've seen players take their lives. I've heard of horrific things that have happened in families domestically here. Ruined families by dumb decisions. Really dumb. Don't tell me the devil doesn't have teeth. Don't tell me that. The devil certainly has teeth. He has teeth. And when anxiety attacks like a roaring lion, whatever you're going through on the outside, with people, with yourself, with your emotions, with your failures, with your ministry, with the sensation of sinking beneath the waves, with literally sleeping in the garden, in a garden, sleeping in this beautiful park. You may be sound asleep even right now this morning, like Peter, with the hearing of a rooster crow. Peter reminds us, in a little while, my son and congregation, here in Avalon, God is going to step in. Where you learn the following. Yes, you're suffering inside. Yes, you're going to get through this season. Yes, the devil is a lion and a liar. And yes, the lion is on the prowl. But the lion is on a leash. Are you listening this morning? Amen to that. You can only go so far. You can only do so much. The devil can only do so much. You will not cry forever. You will not hurt forever. It will not be like this forever. This pandemic will end. God Himself is going to step in. He is going to make you strong. It is only a lion on the leash. The devil cannot gain ground, my friends, that you don't give him. Be careful what you're giving up. I no longer need to stay up at night. My friends, say this with me. Say this with me out loud. Here we go. My anxiety stops here. Oh, brother. My anxiety stops here.
My anxiety stops here.
I can't carry this any longer. Listen to yourself. You just spoke that after we prayed for the presence of God to be here. And you spoke that in front of the Creator of the universe. God, my anxiety stops here. I can no longer carry this anymore. I no longer need to stay up all night. I can sleep because you're up all night. I'm not going to worry about stuff that God, you're already working on. You might have to deal with things for a little while. For a little while, okay? With Peter, he did not understand until he hit rock bottom. Important point. The devil's roar is greater than his reach. Amen? Through our struggles, God's trying to build a foundation that's free of our ego, free of our pride, and free of our boasting. I want to pray with you this morning, if you'll pray with me. John, let's pray. For those that are under attack, And you're feeling this anxiety possibly firsthand. And maybe today is not your day. Maybe it was yesterday. Or maybe it's on, you're on the threshold of this happening tomorrow. I pray that the God of all grace and His mighty hand that is over our life and which has been guiding our life at every moment, that same hand that restored Peter, that same hand of God that has been active in all of history, that same hand of God that is moving right now in this park, through these trees, through the dirt, through the tents, and through the parking lot, in this place. And I want to pray for people who have been under attack in this area of anxiety. And I want to extend a personal prayer. I know there are things in our lives that have been eating us alive, both emotionally, spiritually, and we need your strength, God. We need your strength. You can say that right now in your seat. I need your strength, God, to endure this suffering that I'm going through. I understand you need us to go down. I understand. And it's in order to build us up. We're only the way we can feel your strength is to feel our own weakness. We humble ourselves into the mighty hand of God this morning. Say thank you for the promises and a seasoned Peter, one who can speak from confidence. I was sinking and he lifted me up. I know what I'm talking about here. Start with humility. It'll work. Andrew, you too. All of you, you got this. Avalon, you're going to make it. Coves, all down this leeward side, you got this. If you're from L.A. County, Orange County, up the Creek County, down the Creek County, I don't care what county, you got this. United States, you got this. World, I love you all. All the people, all the nations, all the races, you've got this. I'm your God. I've done this for many, many, many years. And we give it to you this morning. All of it to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning. God bless you.
Let's give a hand for Andrew. That was excellent. Thank you so very, very much. And I love that. Thought right at the beginning there, the birthmark of a Christian is a bullseye. When you're born into the mysterious kingdom of God, you now have a bullseye on you. You can probably see it on the one sitting next to you, can't you? Huh? It reminds me of this Gary Larson cartoon that I saw actually years and years and years ago. It's a one-panel cartoon where these two deer are in the forest, and one of them has this birthmark of a target on his chest. And the other one kind of looks at him and says, well, that's one bummer of a birthmark, Hal. And it's very true, though. That's exactly what we have. But can those flaming darts hit us if we are under the protection, that hand of God? No. No, and we can trust. We can trust in that promise. So thanks, Pastor Andrew, for that great and that incredibly timely message that God has brought us here to hear. Now we can more clearly see, we can more forcefully feel the essence of what Peter felt, the essence of what Peter wrote, especially when he writes in verses 6 and 7, humble yourself. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. That he may exalt you at the proper time. That hand of God that represents the provision, that represents the purpose, that represents the protection. And now we know the way we need to humble ourselves, as verse 7 tells us, casting all of our anxieties not on ourselves, not taking them to ourselves, not thinking that we can deal with them ourselves, but casting them on whom? On him. And why? Because he cares for us. That's big. because he cares for us. In other words, the humblest thing in the world is to do what Peter actually says earlier in this letter. In chapter 4, he says, entrust your souls to a faithful Creator. And yes, that's what we need to do, to entrust our souls to a faithful Creator, that He then will care for us. Casting our anxieties on God means trusting in the promise that He does care for each and every one, and He has the power and He has the wisdom to put that care to work in the most glorious way. And again, for whom? For us. For you. For me. And I want to thank you, Andrew, for helping us to realize that trust. And that trust is the opposite of pride. The essence of humility is trust. It's the confidence that the mighty hand of God is not over us to crush us, but to care for us, just like His promise says. So we don't dare be proud, but we carefully cast our anxieties, we cast our cares on Him, trusting and knowing He cares for us. Beloved, whenever our hearts start to be anxious about the future, or when we start to be anxious about even the now, let's preach to our heart. Let's say, heart, what do you think you're trying to do in fearing the now? What do you think you're trying to do in fearing the future? What you're doing actually is nullifying the promise of God. So stop it, heart. I will not exalt myself with anxiety. I will humble myself in peace, in joy, as I trust this precious and great promise of God that He cares for me. So, Father, for those who are indeed under attack, lift your mighty hand over our lives, that same hand that restored Peter. We need your strength, O God, to endure the sufferings that we're going through. Suffering you allow us to go through, as Andrew said, in order to build us up. But the best way that we can feel your strength is to feel our own weaknesses. So help us to humble ourselves under your mighty hand, knowing and trusting that in due time, you indeed will lift us up. And help us to lay all of our anxieties on you, O Lord, knowing that it's not about us and what we've done. It's all about your purposes being fulfilled in our lives. We extend ourselves towards you, Lord. We stretch our hand to you, Lord. All of our anxieties, our worries, and our pride has to go right now. In Jesus' name, all God's people said,
amen. Amen, amen. Well, let's stand as we close and respond in song together.
We've heard so many good things this morning about being free, right? Free from anxiety, free from the teeth of the enemy, because we're under the protection of Jesus Christ if we choose to be. So let's sing about it now. We are free. Amen. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Amen. 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 In the darkest place, life, even in the pain, it feels like coming home. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I am free, amen. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I am free, amen. Here, I'm alive again. The blood of Christ, I have been redeemed. good.
Well, before you guys go out, just a reminder again, all this equipment, the speakers, it's actually not owned yet. I'm borrowing it to keep these things going. We're trying to do a little fundraising right now towards that. It's about $2,000 to get a lot of this equipment just paid for so we can just keep this going in the long haul. And because we're excited about these opportunities in the future and just keeping these going. So if you feel led to give towards that, on the ACC QR code on the table, if you go on there, there's a line you can select for special projects. And that's our special project for right now, is just trying to get some of this equipment paid for that we're using every week. So, but God's been good to us to allow someone to let us use it. So we're just thankful. But pray with us for that, just as God provides for our needs. We're going to close with sending you guys out on this song. So have a great weekend and rest of your day.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing, but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you.
Listen to this. This is my story, and this is your story as well. We're going to sing it out. I need
rescue. My sin is heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter. I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now you're
Amen. guys. Have a great rest of your day and weekend.